The process of changing the genetic makeup of familiar Midwest crops such as corn starts in a lab, like this one at Garce Seed Company near Slater, Iowa. While a radio delivers the latest information about the dismal prices of corn and soybeans, lab workers are trying to come up with genetically modified crops which they believe will help farmers earn more from the grain they grow. At its simplest, biotechnology is like a cocktail, mixing different ingredients together to come up with a final brew, retaining the unique signature of the components, yet different from each. The scientists at Garce Seed work mainly with corn, introducing non-native genes into the plant. The new genes contain specific hereditary information which the scientists hope will appear in the experimental corn plant. The gene may tell the plant to produce a natural poison which kills harmful insects, or it may protect the plant against a chemical herbicide used to destroy weeds.
These are small embryos of corn, and these are the cells to which we're going to deliver DNA.
Garce research scientist Paul Bullock holds a saucer-sized laboratory dish. The cells it contains are one ingredient of the life-changing cocktails he concocts. He mixes in DNA containing the non-native genes and microscopic whiskers of silicon carbide. For such a cutting-edge science, the next step is close to Neanderthal. In the corner of the lab is a hardware store paint can shaker. When Bullock is ready to mix a genetic cocktail, he attaches the jar holding it to the paint shaker and hits the on button.
I think there's some elegance in the simplicity of it, actually.
Violent shaking hurdles the silicon carbide bits about like tiny spears.
When they hit the cell, they poke a very small hole in the side of the cell wall, and that creates a hole so that the DNA can move into the plant cell and ultimately become part of a corn chromosome. Then we can take those cells and cause them to regenerate or form a small plant, take the plant out to the greenhouse, set seed, and then it's off to the plant breeders for evaluation.
It's far from an exact science. Bullock says 95% of the plants will be flawed, too flimsy to stand up to a Corn Belt windstorm, or maybe the new gene doesn't do what he expects it will. But every once in a while, he finds a winner.
It's very exciting to be a scientist right now because this is maybe not the second green revolution, perhaps it's the beginning of the golden revolution in terms of the genetic improvement of plants.
But if this is a revolution, it's one southern Minnesota farmer Doug Gunnick will not join. He runs an organic farm near Gaylord. That means no chemical weed killers or livestock growth hormones. And he's totally opposed to genetically modified crops.
It sure sounds good initially, but if you think through that, we're struggling in the mud and going deeper.
Gunnick wonders if gene-altered crops are safe to eat. He says there hasn't been enough testing to know. He wonders how the new crops will affect the environment. Is it possible, for example, that the non-native genes in genetically modified corn could escape through the pollination process and become part of nearby grasses or other plants? What sort of decades-long ripple effect will that produce on the environment? He also wonders about the business side of biotechnology. Will it lead to a corporate takeover of American agriculture?
Pretty soon we're acting as hired labor for corporations to do what they want, and that's to buy their products.
Biotechnology corporations are already exerting increasing control over agriculture. Farmers buying genetically modified corn and soybeans must agree to certain conditions, including that they will not save seed from a crop for next planting season. The most far-reaching control, though, likely will come when the next generation of genetically modified plants arrive on the market. The biotechnology industry is on the brink of commercializing gene-altered crops, which will turn a farm field into a manufacturing plant. Purdue University agricultural economist Michael Bolje says genes can be implanted in corn and other crops, which tell the plant to produce medicine, vitamins, or even enzymes and other industrial materials.
Agriculture now, using biotechnology, becomes the raw material supplier, not just for food and a little bit of the fiber industry. It becomes a raw material supplier for part of the pharmaceutical industry, plus part of the industrial products kind of an industry.
But the transformation of agriculture into a raw material supplier comes at a price for farmers. Bolje says in most cases it means farmers will sign a contract with a biotechnology company to produce the crop which contains the precious raw material. The good side of that is it guarantees farmers an agreed-upon premium price. The downside is more corporate control in an industry where producers cherish being their own boss.
I'm going to be less independent in my decision-making. I may actually have somebody tell me what variety of corn to produce, when to plant it, when to harvest it, when to apply chemicals. That's a major change in how I think about my business and the independent decision making that I have been so used to.
The introduction of contracts in crop production will not be entirely new. Producers for the vegetable canning industry, sweet corn, peas, green beans, and the like, have used them for years in Minnesota. But it would be a major change for producers of the state's largest cash crops like corn and soybeans. Mike Yost, president of the American Soybean Association, farms near Murdoch in west central Minnesota. He's enthusiastic about the future of genetically modified crops, calling them the biggest change he'll see in his farming career. But he says he's a little wary of contracts.
I'm not, at this point in time, advocating collective bargaining or anything like that, but I think producers need to be aware of some of the pitfalls. I mean, will the purchasers be required to take your product if there's too much produced? I mean, are you going to buy some expensive seed and some expensive inputs and turn around and not have a market for it?
No one knows when contracting of gene-altered crops will become common. The best guess is sometime this decade. It's taking place on a small scale right now, but rapid growth could be here in a few years. It all depends on how soon biotechnology companies come up with products they can grow profitably in crops. And that depends on what answers scientists find in the genetic cocktails they're nursing. This is Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio.